Jay Barker joins us on this Friday afternoon as we head into the big contest this weekend between Alabama and LSU. And Jay, of course, has experience playing for the Crimson Tide, winning the national championship in 1992. Jay, is there something going on in Tuscaloosa this weekend?
There's something big going on. It's amazing, the hype of this game. And, you know, all week long in the opening dry docks, 94.5, and we talked about it. And for two straight weeks, but this is a game that's been circled for, you know, many months now, dating back to the summer at SEC Media Days, talking about if both of these teams could, you know, continue to win, it would be a collision course straight for this game, dealing with this LSU-Alabama match. You know, to imagine it'd be number one versus number two is pretty phenomenal what this game's going to be all about. Hopefully it'll live up to the expectations.
Yeah, I hope so. And this game's been sliced and diced from coast to coast. I want to get your thoughts, though. What's your overall analysis? What's the key for both teams as we head into this one versus two contest?
You know, I think it's like everything. I mean, every single game you play, whether it's from the time you play in the Little League all the way through high school and college and into the NFL, you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And I think Alabama to win the game, or for LSU to win the game, that matter. Either team has got to go up and be able to run the football, be able to stop the run and make the team dimensional. To be successful against an LSU defense, you've got to be efficient on first down. So if you're able to make 4 or 5 yards, 3 yards, you know, whatever it is, where it's, you know, second and 7 or second and 5 or 6, more than second 10, or you've lost yardage, you know, if you're second 3 or 4, you're sitting in perfect position now that you can do pretty much anything in your playbook on second down and still give yourself a chance to get a first down on third down. So I think, you know, first down efficiency, third down efficiency is always key in all the games. But, you know, against a defense like this, you want to be able to keep your playbook open. And if you got third and long or second long, a lot of times with the eyes they've got in that secondary, especially in the speed they've got, you're kind of cautious with the ball up as much, or, you know, down the field or across the middle, because you're afraid of the interception or the turnovers. Brady McCarron and the quarterbacks on both sides, you know, really making sure they're protecting the ball. And I think if you're going to take a shot or take a chance, you're going to take that chance in your own territory, where if you throw it, either the ball is going to be intercepted down, you know, in a pack on the 5 or 10 yard line, that's as good as a punt, you know, or it's going to be complete pass but still get a chance to, you know, get a field goal or interception, taking a shot. So, you know, you got to make those moments, but Jacob, it's like every game. There's 4 or 5 plays that make the difference, and it, you know, who's going to knock that ball on defense? Who's going to make the catch? Who's going to make that extra block to spring Trent Richardson for an extra 5, 10, maybe 50 yards for a touchdown? Those are the type of things that make the difference in these type of games.
Jay, you played for a tremendous coach in Coach Gene Stallings, and of course we have two great coaches on either sideline of tomorrow night's game, Nick Saban and Les Miles. What were the tactics used with your team as far as keeping the mindset of the players light? I mean, you played in the 1993 national championship game against Miami. With all the hype, you see ESPN game day around, how does the coach keep both sides, I guess, keep these players' minds focused on the task at hand?
Well, and I think for us, I mean, there wasn't nearly much hype. There wasn't nearly, and you know, what I mean by that is media outlets, social media, too. All the different people have their blogs and just the fans and the Facebook and everything that they can get on back and forth with. It's just a lot different than it was back in the early to mid-90s. Now you've got, you know, these guys are still somewhat insulated at all. I mean, preparing and doing the things you've got to do is Saban talks about, and I think all the coaches kind of talk about that, preparing the same way each week, not allowing yourself to get caught up in any of the stuff that is trivial. Instead, really focus in on the job at hand and do the things you do each week to be successful. If you do those things, you're going to have a chance to win. And that's all you're for. If you want to prepare to have a chance to win as a great team like LSU, and you want to go out there and do the things each week to get better, not stay stagnant, not to get better in a practice or during the week, but instead really improve yourself throughout in the film room and studying, picking up things that may be a certain tendency or just something small that you might get a little bit of an extra benefit from, just from watching that extra film. The stuff to do. I think the one thing Jacob and Coach Saban has done a great job of is McCarron. Back when I was a freshman quarterback, redshirt freshman in 1991, you know, my first start was LSU. You know, then after that, I played all the games, went into the bowl game, and, you know, every single week I'd have to sit down for 2 straight hours and do nothing but just media stuff, do radio interviews, do writers, won't interview them on the phone. So it was from about, you know, until about 1 or 1:30 each day that I'd leave and go to the facility and start working on film and stuff. And, you know, that was handled as a young player, and at that, we're pretty much, you know, to the media. And Saban, I think, does a really good job of making sure that guys are mature enough to handle it, and especially a guy like AJ McCarron. You know, this year he's not been able to speak to the media, but, you know, a lot of media guys get mad about that. I think it's a good thing. I think for his maturation process as a quarterback, he needs time and definitely does not need the pressure that he might feel from a question or from a reporter to put on him throughout the game week.
Tomorrow night after the game is over and every bit of the game has been recapped, the agendas will become formulated in the press box at Bryant-Denny Stadium about whether or not, if it is a close game, and if perhaps LSU, because they're on the road, loses, there should be a rematch in this between these two teams for the BCS championship game later on. What are your feelings on a potential rematch?
I like the fact that, you know, we're really talking about it. Look, if we've got two SEC teams playing for the national championship, it's a good thing for SEC. I mean, like winning another national title and showing that, you know, the SEC dominates college football, I love that. But on the flip side of that, too, I think it's going to be tough. If Alabama loses to LSU, and I think drop down to 3 or 4, I think, you know, at the lowest 4, maybe more. I mean, it's really core to have the voters vote in this BCS formula. If LSU loses, I think it's a different story. I think for two reasons. One, they've been riding at number one. Number one, if they get beat by number two, tends to not fall as far. Let's just say they fall to number three. And then, you know, at the end of the day, if they keep winning, and I really think there's going to be a push because, you know, the national championship game is, you know, in New Orleans, Superdome. I think everybody loves that storyline of having a rematch, you know, part two, what an epic game it was. You know, if this comes down to the last second field goal or a last minute drive for a touchdown, you know, I got to believe that the national media, ESPN, and other folks out there that are voting may begin to push to see this rematch. The problem is, one of these teams lose, how are they going to keep their focus? See, I think it's going to be tougher on the team that loses than it will be on the team that wins. A team loses like Alabama did in 2008, 12-0, and they lose the SEC title game, they go and play Utah and just laid an egg. And that's what you worry about as a coaching staff is, look, we have so much to play for. But in this one game, everything is wrapped up as far as postseason play. If you lose to LSU, they're in the driver's seat for the SEC title game and the national championship. And if you lose, you're now knocked out of two things. This isn't like, you know, you get that one loss and you're still playing for your conference championship. So the mental, emotional drain that can have on the team, that's when it's going to be important for, you know, whichever team or whichever coach has to handle that after this game to come back and refocus and make sure they keep winning and doing things they got to do to allow the voters to position them back in a chance to play for a national title.
Finally, Jay, tomorrow night, as we hit about 10, 11 o'clock Central time here in Central Alabama, what do you think? How do you think the game's going to go, and what do you think the final score will be?
You know what? I think it's going to be a tough, tough game early on. I think it's going to go back and forth. I think special teams are going to play a huge role in how things happen. I think there probably will be a turnover at some point in time or just a really big explosive play. Hopefully it's going to be both of those will be for Alabama's favor. But I think what happens is it's a little bit close, but I really think Alabama pulls away from this LSU team and late in the third or early third quarter. In the second half, they've just been so strong this year. You look at the offensive line, we outweighed their defensive line by 40 pounds. Yes, they're athletic. Yes, they're fast. But that continual pounding, they like for people to go to side to side. We're going to go straight at them with Trent Richardson, with Eddie Lacy and Fowler. So I think that's going to put a little bit of wear and tear on their defense. They're just not as big as we are on the offensive side of the ball. On the flip side, we got speed and size. And they want to run downhill. They want to run the football. We just need to stop, not allow them to be efficient on first down, put them in second long, third long, make Jarrett Lee beat us through the air. I think if that's the case, Alabama's got a chance to have a huge day again on defense. So I think Alabama pulls away at the end. My prediction this week has been 27-10. I think it'll be that type of game, maybe 28-17. But I think Alabama wins by at least 2 scores, you know, if not 2 touchdowns. And I think it could be a big night for the Crimson. And, you know, all the stuff that surrounded this game, it'll mean even so much more if they can win the game and take that hype in the next few weeks and get ready for an SEC title and hopefully play for a national championship.
No doubt about it. It should be fun tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on CBS, Alabama, LSU. Nothing more needs to be said. Jay Barker of the Jocks 94.5 hosts the opening drive in the morning along with Al Del Greco and Tony Curry. Thanks so much for being with us, Jay.
Jacob, always great, and you're such a great friend and doing such a great job, and always great to come on the program with you.